answer.
Yeah, really.
What?
I said you're going to give the answer now.
The answer?
She said the answer. She said this is a $50,000 course. And I said, he's in a room with a bunch of women. We'll get the answer.
Uh-huh. Dream on, babe. It's all about the money, so. Try it, whatever you want, but. Okay, part of the magic trick that I just described about emotions, but it applies to everything, involves two elements being bonded together. Movements of energy in the case of emotions, the pure raw experience that, as you know, I show visually like this. And what's the second one? The story. The mind machine's label and judgmental story about the pure raw experience. Now again, we're talking here about emotions, but this applies to everything. Sensations, thoughts, everything. But we're talking about emotions and sensations primarily at this point. To help you really get and integrate what I mean until it's 100% experiential, I want to introduce water as a metaphor. When you look at water in an ocean or a lake or a stream or a glass or a sink or a bathtub or a swimming pool or whatever, you just see water, right? But scientifically, what's water?
H2O.
Yeah. It's two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen. Are oxygen and hydrogen the same thing?
No.
Are they unique and different?
Yes.
What happens when they combine?
They
appear to turn into something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the hydrogen gone?
No.
Is the oxygen gone?
No.
But when they merge, they appear to create something that looks radically different, because I've never seen, I don't know that you can even see what hydrogen or oxygen look like. I mean, oxygen doesn't look like anything. I don't know if hydrogen has a color or anything, but when they mix together, they create something that's very unique and that we deal with a lot in our lives. So you've got two things that bond together, that fuse together, and appear to create something else. They haven't really lost the individuality of hydrogen and oxygen. In a way, they have, but two separate things combine together and create something that appears to be something different. And we just get used to, we just see water. Most people, even kids, can tell you it's really hydrogen and oxygen, but to most of us, it's just water. So guess what? Same kind of a thing happens. The pure raw experience that always appears first is the kind of the equivalent of the oxygen molecule. The name and the judgment bond together with, so you got a molecule of pure raw experience, a molecule of judgment and name, they fuse together and they create water, except what's the water equivalent? Positive and negative emotions or sensations, but it's the same kind of a thing. That's what I've been showing as this. The pure raw experience is one thing, like hydrogen, it's unique, it's separate in a sense. It's different. The story is something, it's a different beast, it's a different chemical element, however you want to look, completely different thing. But when they combine together, it ceases to appear to be pure raw experience and story, and the story dominates, and the story becomes the water. And then we just think it's water. But the reality is, the hydrogen is always in the water, the oxygen is always in the water, the pure experience is always in there, even though this fuse and this bonding has taken place. It's a very similar kind of a chemical reaction, in a sense, of what happens when mind-machine stories combine with pure raw experience, whether it's a thought, it's a feeling, or it's a sensation, or it's something about, you know, your business or your partner or whatever else it is. It's a very similar kind of a thing that happens. It's a bonding, a fusing of separate elements that become something that appears to be something else, even though it isn't. What happens if you separate oxygen and hydrogen? The water disappears. So, again, if hydrogen and oxygen remain bonded, it's going to appear like water. If you separate the hydrogen and the oxygen, water disappears. So, guess what? If you separate the pure raw experience from the mind machine story about it, or even better, so to speak, stop the bonding from occurring in the first place, which is ultimately what happens. On this journey in general, what you see first is you see the bonding, you see the separation, but then ultimately no bonding happens anymore. But if you separate the pure raw experience from the mind machine story about it, or you stop the bonding from occurring in the first place, what's going to happen? Yeah, and the story may still be there, but it'll be what it is. It won't get you by the throat. It won't dominate like it did, and then ultimately it disappears. It's a really accurate metaphor of what happens. You experience ultimate freedom and true happiness, no matter how you might have once named and judged the exact same inner space appearances before the separation took place and you got into a truthful with a capital T relationship with it. Here's another way of looking at it, just because I like to come at these things with different angles and different ways. This is the video editing software that I use. It's called Final Cut Pro X, if you care, on the Mac. And this is a scene from Avatar. So all you have to do is just watch this. It's self-explanatory. But I want to come at what we just did in a slightly different way. Okay, I'm creating this video because I want to illustrate something for you along the lines of what we just talked about. So this is a picture, actually, of my editing software that I use for editing videos. So if you look here into this center area, in an editing program, this is what a video clip looks like. You can visually see the visuals, you can visually see the audio, but as you can see, if you can see the yellow highlighting here and here, it's all merged together. You can't separate it. The audio soundtrack is connected to the video soundtrack, and it's merged. And here you see what it's like merged, where you see the video, you see the audio, you're experiencing both. Now, what you can do in the video software is you can, in fact, detach the audio. And then, as you can see, the audio becomes separate from the video. And then you can play it. You still hear both as if they were merged. But the interesting thing that you can do now is you can delete the soundtrack. And now you just see the video. This is kind of a visual depiction that I'm giving you to show a couple of things, including the fact that it's another way of looking at when the story separates from the pure raw experience. Because when the story and the pure raw experience are merged, it appears to be one thing, you know, again, like water instead of hydrogen and oxygen. When you separate them, they can still coexist. You can be aware of both, but they're separate. They're two different things instead of one merged thing. And then the ultimate opportunity once they separate is for then not the soundtrack, as we talked about, because emotions are an important part of the human story, but the story to be detached. So I'm just kind of giving you a visual of merged, separated, the story being deleted and just experiencing the pure raw experience. With me on that? It's not a perfect metaphor, but to my bias, it's a good one. As it relates to emotions, the mind machine observes two appearances. What's happening? The movement of energy accompanying what's happening. What's happening is, I'll give you a specific on this. So it sees what's happening in inner space or in story space. It sees the movement of energy accompanying what's happening in terms of emotions. And the mind machine then makes up and tells stories about both. What's actually happening and the emotion that's paralleling it, that's attached to it, that happens at the same time. The mind machine does not shape how the emotional energy moves. True creative essence does that. Bear with the language. It's true creative essence that determines how the movement of energy is going to move. But then the mind machine observes it, makes up the story about it at the same time that it makes up a story about what's happening. So let's look at two specific examples of all of this put together into a specific scenario. In this first one, imagine that a married couple is at a party. And the wife sees her husband clinking glasses, toasting with an attractive woman. So I marked it up there, but here's the wife, here's the other woman, and here's the husband. And she sees this. Okay? You with me? Mm-hmm. I'm sure none of this has ever happened to any of you, but... The mind machine of the wife observes the interaction of her husband and the other woman at the party. That's where it always starts. Something appears. And how the emotional energy begins to move as a result. The mind machine will be aware of both of these. When it asks the first question, what is this? The answer is simple. My husband is toasting with another woman. At this point, with the answer to the first question, is there a problem?
No.
The answer is simple. There's no problem yet. Lightning fast, mechanical, and machine-like. It will then ask the second question, what does this mean? And here's where the problem, so to speak, starts and where things start to get complicated and tricky. And what happens in so many of our lives that causes us to be unhappy is when this second question is answered. Now here, it gets interesting because the mind machine doesn't know, does it? And the way it's built, it in general, some of us do this, some people do this. In general, the mind machine doesn't just say, hey, you know what, I don't know. Let me ask them. It just buzzes and whirs and comes up with what it can based on what it's seeing and what's in its database and the programs and the algorithm. So it's going to try to answer the question, what does this mean, in a vacuum just by itself watching what's happening. But it doesn't know. So in lightning fast, it's got to go look through things like this. These are just some examples. There could be lots of other things. Do they know each other? Is he attracted to her? Are they having an affair? Has he lost interest in me? Will they have an affair? Am I in danger? The mind machine has to look at things like this because it doesn't know the answer to the question based on what it's looking at. But in general, again, it feels like it has to answer the question the way it's been designed. It doesn't usually search for information first. It comes up with conclusions first and reactions first, and then maybe there'll be a conversation or whatever. But in general, there are exceptions, but in general, this is how it works in life. So it's going to go through all of these lightning fast with its programming and algorithms in place, and it's going to choose one of these. So for our example, let's choose this meaning. I suspect he may be having an affair. I know this never happens in life, but we'll just use this in our example here. As the question is answered, emotional energy will begin to move in unique ways based on the answer. If the answer is, I suspect he may be having an affair, do you think the emotional energy will move differently than if the question was answered, it's no big deal, he probably knows her from work. Yeah. So the energy, the mind machine doesn't make it happen, but based on how the question's answered, true creative essence will shift how the energy begins to move. You with me? Mm-hmm. The big and intense movement of energy in this case will then be given a name and it'll be judged by the mind machine. Based on what's been cataloged and stored in the mind machine, the movement of energy in this case could be named fear, anger, jealousy, whatever. There tends to be a stronger reaction to, oh my God, he might be having an affair. It tends to be a bigger, more intense movement and it would tend then to be labeled fear, anger, jealousy. But again, it doesn't know at this point. It's looking at the movement of energy, comparing it against, what do I call something like this? Trying to figure it out. For this example, let's say jealousy was chosen. Now, jealousy, again, is not a quiet little emotion. It tends to be a bigger, much more intense kind of a one. So it's going to start to move. And true creative essence will choose it to fit somewhere. Again, it could still be big and intense and be medium or high, or it could be extreme. It just depends on what's going on in that scene, what's in the database, how many other things have happened with potential affairs and other kinds of things. But somehow the intensity will fall somewhere on that meter. The mind machine will observe, let's just call it the intense jealousy energy appearing in inner space, and make the judgment what? Judgment about the feeling.
Bad.
Yeah.
Negative.
You know, you won't necessarily say to yourself, oh my God, I really feel bad right now, but that's what's going on. This doesn't feel good. This feels bad. I don't like this. The story will bond with the pure raw experience, which in this case is simply what? What's the pure raw experience in story space?
They're toasting.
Two people are toasting. But now all of a sudden we got two people are toasting, jealousy and bad feeling. And all of a sudden water equals jealousy and bad. And what's happening here with this big movement of energy, there's a duplicate thing here. You could say there's a pure raw experience of they're just clinking glasses. And that's, he's having an affair, blah, blah, blah. And then the movement of the energy, there's a double bonding. Are you with me? The wife will then accept the bonded story without questioning it, and she'll believe she really is jealous and she really feels bad. And she'll be caught up in some sort of a wave of whatever. Same thing would be true for a man. This just, I happened to hire an artist many, many years ago to do this, and we just happened to choose a woman to be the one who was jealous, but it would be the same thing. You can all identify with this kind of a process, yes? Boom. The magic trick is complete. Faster than the blink of an eye, all of this will happen. Now here's the thing. The story told by the mind machine may or may not be true. Whatever it is. In this case, it's having an affair, not having an affair, I'm in danger, I'm not in danger, he isn't attracted to me anymore, whatever it is. The story may or may not be true, but guess what?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. It usually isn't true, but it doesn't matter. Based on the buzz whir and the movement of energy, emotional energy will still move as it moves. It'll still be named and judged. A story will still be bonded to the pure raw experience. And the woman, you, whatever, will still be convinced you're actually feeling what the mind machine story says you're feeling. The name of it and the positive negative judgment of it, whether the story is true or not. Truth be told, in this example, the emotion felt by the wife is not jealousy. What is it?
Energy.
Moving
through the body.
Inner space. In a unique way. Mm-hmm. It's not jealousy, and it's not bad. Except in a story. All right, so we went ahead on this. Without a story told by the mind machine, the jealousy movement doesn't feel good or bad. Truth. It's just what it is. A neutral or pleasurable movement of energy. And by the way, from a language perspective, on this path, you have to make a decision. There's no longer positive and negative if you tell the truth about movements of energy. But if you're going to call it something, you either have to call it neutral or positive. So to my bias, it's okay if you say all emotions are positive, even though technically that's a positive judgment, you know, doesn't matter. But you have to either say they're all neutral or they're all positive or pleasurable or whatever. Doesn't matter if there still appears to be a polarity. You with me? You're just describing it. It doesn't matter. And that's how you perceive it. They're all pleasurable, just like when you watch a movie, read a book, on a roller coaster, sports, music, whatever. Key point. In our example, here's the interesting thing. What's the third question? Yeah. Guess what? The wife can say or do anything without what?
The story.
And the jealousy and all the upset and the craziness and everything. Let's say that she watches this, she gets all upset, she feels in danger, there's all this emotion moving and everything else, and then they go home, and she does what she does. She asks him, I noticed that you were, you know, are you whatever, you know, whatever she would do. Call a private detective, call her friends and find out, hey, do anybody know anything about this girl? You know, I mean, whatever she did, she could do, still do, without all the drama. It isn't necessary. You with me? It happens all the time, but it isn't required.
But why would she, though? If there were no jealousy or bad feeling, why she wouldn't do the same thing?
She might want to know.
She might ask.
It just wouldn't be upsetting.
Right.
There's another possibility of what it could be that we'll get to.
Oh, okay.
She could still take action. She could still go home and calmly say, you know, whatever. She could still hire a private detective, do some research, whatever else it is. The drama isn't necessary. The action can still be done without that. We can still do all the kind of things that we do in life without all the... Or all of this can be happening and you have a different relationship with it that we'll talk about. With me? Okay, here's a second example. Imagine you're driving and the mind machine observes another car running a red light and coming towards you at high speed. This is the input to the machine. The mind machine will answer the first question, what is this with what? What's happening? Yeah. Car is running a red light. At this point, is there a problem? At this point, do you feel anything yet?
No.
It's just what's happening at this point. No big deal. No big decision. Doesn't have to search its database, really. It just, it knows. A car's coming at it. No big deal. And the second question, what does this mean?
You actually saw this in Meg Ryan's face last night when the truck was there. At first it was, just witnessing that, and then the wave came over.
I'm in trouble, yeah. Now here in this particular example, in the second question with the party, it was more complicated. Here it's not so complicated. It's dangerous when a car is coming at you at high speed. So what does this mean? I'm in danger, this isn't safe. This is a pretty simple, easy, quick one. The problem isn't here. Actually, in this thing, there really isn't. It's all pretty simple for the mind machine to do it, which is why I chose the example. So that's the second question. This is dangerous, I'm not safe. What's the third question? What do we normally do in a situation like this?
Swerve away from us.
But as meaning is being assigned, emotional energy will begin to move in a specific way. In this situation, big or small?
Big.
Sharp or smooth?
Sharp.
Zoomed or off in the distance in the blackness of inner space. That's what will happen. Since this story is also an intense one, meaning you could be killed, theoretically, or your car damaged and you have to pay money you don't have to get it fixed, or whatever the story is, you know. It's likely the frequency will be sharp, fast, and big as it appears in inner space. This, to me, is a good visual of anger or fear or whatever, that image there. So the energy will begin to move as these questions are being answered. The mind machine observes the movement of energy and asks, what is this? It'll search its database for an answer. It's not hard. It'll likely conclude something like, this is fear, I'm afraid. It won't say those words to you in general, but that's what you'll fear. You'll feel, and if somebody asked you, what'd you feel after you saw that car, or someone's in the next seat to you or whatever, that's what it is, I'm afraid. What does this mean? It'll search its database for a similar reference. It'll likely conclude fear is bad and uncomfortable and I don't like it. And then there are all kinds of other things too, most of you probably discovered about what's the other side effect to negative emotions in a lot of stories besides the fact that they don't feel good.
You can change your body.
They're toxic.
Yeah.
They can damage your organs, they can damage your this, they can damage your that, they can create karmic kinds of things, they can have other kinds of dynamics that can hold you back in spiritual, there's all kinds of things. So that might be part of it, depending on somebody, release whatever chemicals into the bloodstream that can whatever. How should I respond? It'll search its database for a similar reference. And you mentioned it. Jam on the brakes or swerve or both. Or something else, depending on what's going on. And then sometimes, like if there's ice on the road or something like that, this isn't enough. There's another loop of this because the car starts sliding or whatever it is, you know. But this is what happens. And you can actually see if you look, and like you said with Meg Ryan, you can actually see that these questions are being asked. They're being answered. As they're being answered, energy begins to change how it's moving. And then there's the judgment and there's all these things. And then some sort of a response happens. If it's required, if it isn't in the moment, then it happens when it happens. Like at the party, she doesn't have to do anything right then. She doesn't have to do anything at all. She could wait till they get home. It could be 2 weeks. It could be a month. She could see this 5 times, and then finally she confronts him. But at some point, the response can, how should I respond question can be answered with, I'm not going to do anything right now. I'm going to wait and see if this pattern repeats or I see any other signs that he's having an affair or whatever it is. But you can actually see that these things happen and the energy moves. And sometimes bodily sensations are part of this as well. I'm just keeping it simple. Buzz, work, lightning fast, mechanical and machine-like, all of it, even though it doesn't seem like that to you in the moment. Just like Google. I want you to verify through your own experience some or all of what I just shared. So I want you to do an exercise with a partner. Here's how it's going to work. It has several stages. Choose a partner. Choose the one you feel that you need know the least, if that's possible at this point. A lot of times I say that because there's a lot of people in a larger audience that know each other. So if there's such a thing, it isn't so relevant here. But one should be A and the other should be B. So we have nine. We should create one group of three then. Groups of two and one group of three. So there'll be an A, B, and C for one group. Taking turns, take the following steps. I'll leave them up here so that you can look at them. I'll tell you when to start, stop, and switch partners. We're not going to spend a huge amount of time on this because you're going to have so much opportunity in your own life, but I want everything to become experiential here that can be, so it doesn't just sit at the idea and concept level. Move quickly through this. You'll have many other opportunities to do this on your own when you get home or tonight or whenever. So here's step one. And again, I'll leave this up here. You don't have to take notes. Partner A, ask your partner to close their eyes. Ask them to become aware of inner space. Ask them to describe their perception of inner space to you. Big, black, whatever. Notice if it matches how I described it. It's this vast inner space, no end, whatever. It's black, it's whatever. I'm aware of it. I'm aware that it doesn't move, it doesn't change, it's just there and stuff appears in it. See if you can verify that. Narrate it to your partner. So this is the first part. We'll do this, and then at some point I'll say, okay, switch. And then you reverse roles. The one group of three, you'll have to reverse it again, which I'll let you do on your own once the second one has been done, the one group of three. And then we'll move on to the second part. Any questions? Okay.